If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians, verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold witness of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. As we consider these verses, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, again, we ask for wisdom to understand these words that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, but that can still apply to our lives today. Lord, open our hearts to hear your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The current Israel-Gaza war has been going on for about 9 months now. It isn't the first war in the area, and I suspect it's not the last one either. The absolute hatred of the Palestinians, really all Arabs, for all Jews, has been in existence for thousands of years. This present war is just a demonstration of this hatred. To be fair, the Jews return this hatred. They're just a little more civilized in doing so. In the beginning, the early church thought that the gospel belonged to the Jews because it had come through them and to them, first in the person of Jesus Christ. The changes taught by Paul, especially the oneness of Jews and Gentiles, went against everything Jews had been taught and believed. As we saw last week, unity of all Christians is important. It was because of the seething hatred between Jews and Gentiles that Paul and his teachings eventually led to a riot in the temple in Jerusalem. What Paul and others was teaching was earth-shaking. Paul began this third chapter with the intent of offering a prayer for believers that they would understand the resources that they have in Christ. But then, because of their importance, Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to reemphasize and expand some of these truths that he'd already mentioned. He didn't actually get to his prayer until verse 14, where he repeats the same phrase, "for this reason." Paul seemed to feel that the Ephesians and the others who would read this letter, like us, would not be ready to hear his prayer on their behalf until they better understood the truths that he wanted to pray for. Twice in this letter, in Ephesians 3, verse 1, later in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul reminded his readers that he was a prisoner. In Ephesians 6, verse 20, he called himself an ambassador in chains. And no doubt, some of the people reading this letter to the Ephesians wondered, why was Paul in prison in Rome? Why would God permit such a thing to happen to his apostle? In this opening paragraph, Paul explained his situation, and in doing so also explained one of the greatest truths in this letter, the mystery of the church. In the New Testament, mystery isn't some unknown thing or something like a whodunit story. Rather, a mystery is a truth hidden by God in times past and is now revealed to those who are in His family. Say it again. A mystery is a truth hidden by God in the past, but now revealed to those who are in His family, to Christians. As he prepared to reveal these important truths, Paul began by reminding the reader of the effects that this mystery had on his life. In this scripture we read this morning, Paul described himself with three different terms. In verse 1, he called himself a prisoner. In verse 2, he called himself, in so many words, an administrator or a minister. In verse 7, he called himself a servant. Some translations use the word minister here, but the word servant, I think, is a better choice. Paul was a servant because he made Jesus his Lord as well as his Savior. Paul was an administrator, a minister by God's choosing. Paul was a prisoner because he believed God's new program of uniting Jews and Gentiles into one body. And he taught this as he carried out the Great Commission. The Orthodox Jews in Jesus, in Paul's day and in Jesus' day, considered the Gentiles dogs, the lowest of low. Some of the Christian Jews did not have a much better attitude towards the Gentiles. This revealed secret, this mystery, was important to Paul and to Christianity. It was his revealing and his teaching this mystery that led to his arrest and being taken to Rome. Paul's life, Paul's actions, demonstrated how important teaching and acting on the mystery of God was. The mystery is important to Paul. He was a servant because Jesus was his Lord. He was a minister by God's choosing. He was a prisoner of Rome because of the mystery itself. When he first appeared in the scripture, that is, in his early life, Paul wasn't a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul was not a Christian. Paul was a devout Jew, and his Jewish name was Saul. Some might even say that he was a fanatic. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning of verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, beginning of verse 11. Paul writes in this book, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Now turn to the first record of Paul in the Bible, the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Turn back to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep." That is, he died. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul, who later becomes Paul, Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison." Remembering that time, Paul said in Acts chapter 22, verse 20, that when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. following Stephen's death, as we just read, Paul got more involved in eradicating Christianity. As a devout Jew, Paul felt that his calling was to rid the earth of the heretical faction called Christians. That is, until his conversion. Paul didn't choose his apostleship or his ministry as a servant of God. He was called by God in a very special way. You probably remember Paul's encounter with God on the road to Damascus. If you want it, you can find it in Acts chapter 9. God in his infinite wisdom, God in his grace, chose this intellectual, this extremely well-educated man called Saul to be his servant, to be his minister. In his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul wrote, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. To outwardly show this change that had come to his heart, Saul soon changed his name to Paul, which is Greek. It means small or little. Paul knew from the beginning of his Christian life that God had called him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. This was Paul's ministry, Paul's calling. According to Acts chapter 11 and Galatians chapter 1, after 3 years of being trained by Jesus in the deserts of Arabia, Paul began his early ministry in a local church in Antioch. It was composed of both Jews and Gentiles. Later in Acts chapter 13, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, Paul was sent out with Barnabas on his first of 3 missionary journeys to the then known world of the Gentiles, places that we call Turkey and Greece today. As God's messenger, life was not easy for Paul. We don't have time. Sun's coming out. We don't have time to look at each individual journey, at the particulars. I can leave that up to you to read the first part of the book of Acts. For the sake of time, listen to Paul's testimony from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul wrote, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled, have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the Christian churches. But in spite of all that, Paul didn't give up and quit because of the difficult times that he went through. He was a servant of God in the gospel. Since Jesus was his Lord as well as the Savior, Paul went where God told him to go. And wherever Paul ministered, he established local churches composed of believing Jews and Gentiles, all one in Christ Jesus. Paul was so consumed with understanding, with preaching the mystery of Christ, that he sacrificed his health, his freedom, his very life as a minister teaching others so that they too could understand this mystery and hear the gospel. In spite of, perhaps because of, all that he'd been through, Paul was able to write the familiar verse from Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For Paul, sacrifice for God was his supreme joy. And this sacrifice eventually led to Paul's arrest. Because Paul preached to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, he was accused of being prejudiced against Jews, particularly by the Jewish believers in Jerusalem. To show that this wasn't true, in trying to establish goodwill between Jewish and Gentile churches, Paul collected a special offering for the needy believers in Judea from the Gentile churches that he had established. And then he delivered this offering in person to the Jerusalem church and Jerusalem Christians. While in Jerusalem, Paul tried to pacify the Jewish believers by worshiping in the temple with some of them. But because of hatred of Paul's teachings and Paul himself, rumors flew about Paul taking Gentiles into the temple. These rumors led to a riot in the temple. Since Paul was the center of attention, he was arrested by the Roman garrison. As he was being escorted out, the soldiers allowed Paul to address those gathered around him in the courtyard. He began by giving his personal testimony. The crowd listened to him. That is, until he got to the word Gentiles. And then the riot erupted again. This whole scene is recorded in Acts chapters 21 and 22. The rest of the book of Acts explains how Paul got from Jerusalem to Rome. As Paul wrote in verse 1 of chapter 3, as a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. Finally, in these opening verses, there's Paul's mission. Paul's mission was not only to tell the Gentiles the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. It wasn't enough to win them to Christ and then form them into a local congregation. He was to teach them about their wonderful position as Christians in Christ. As members of the body of Christ, each Gentile believer shared God's grace equally with the Jews. This truth had not been revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. This was the mystery. It was revealed to and then through the New Testament apostles and prophets. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Paul's writing a little bit more about this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was He, that is Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God revealed this mystery of unity personally to Paul. And it was Paul's responsibility, Paul's ministry, to share it with all Christians. It was because Paul was a faithful minister and servant that as he wrote this letter to the Ephesians, he was a prisoner in Rome. Like Joseph in the Old Testament, Paul's faithfulness resulted in false arrest and imprisonment. But in the end, it brought great glory to God, salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Begin verse 12. Philippians chapter 1, beginning of verse 12. Paul's still in jail when he writes the book of Philippians. And he writes, again, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. His being in chains was a good thing, a positive thing. The life of Paul.
Paul's early life, he was a devout Jew. He was a fanatic. Paul's conversion, he was called by God on the road to Damascus. Paul's ministry was to take the gospel to Gentiles. To sacrifice for God was Paul's supreme joy. Paul was arrested because he preached to the Gentiles. Paul's mission was to teach unity of all believers. From Paul's life and his acceptance of God's mystery and God's plan, there are a couple of things we can, I think, apply to our own lives. First, perspective is important. That is, how we look at things is important. How we view, react to circumstances is more important than the circumstances themselves. If all we can see is our immediate situation, then our circumstances control us. If we feel good when our circumstances are good and terrible when they're not, they're controlling us. Had Paul been able to see only his circumstances, the beatings, the shipwrecks, the hatred and the lies of his fellow man, Paul had probably given up his ministry. Had he thought his life was ultimately in the hands of his persecutors, his jailers, the Roman government, I think he'd given up in despair. But Paul's perspective was from God's view, God's perspective. He lived with trust in God's purpose, no matter what. Turn to his testimony, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning verse 7. He wrote, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing great revelations that he had had." Paul writes, "There is given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" It wasn't that he knew his future or fully understood the divine purposes behind his problems. But Paul knew that his future, his afflictions, and every other aspect of his life were totally and completely in his Lord's hands. Despite his special calling as an apostle, his several revelations from the Lord, Paul lived and worked by faith, faith in God and not by sight. Paul was sure that God would cause all things to work together for good. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, he wrote, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Writing about trials, James wrote in James 1:2, "Consider pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds." James went on to write that these trials or testings produce faith. Faith produces perseverance. Perseverance leads to maturing or growing up as Christians. This is the perspective of Paul, of the early Christians. So where's your perspective? On your needs or what God would have done? Second, you may not have had the extraordinary calling from God like Paul did on the road to Damascus. But every Christian, every believer is a steward, a minister called to use the spiritual gifts, opportunities, skills, and every other blessing he has from the Lord. Everything we have belongs to the Lord, and we are therefore entrusted as stewards, as servants, to manage our lives and everything we possess on behalf of the one to whom we belong, to our Lord and Savior. We are faithful servants when we use what we have to minister to those within the family of God
and witness to those who are not. In 1 Peter 4:10, we're told, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Paul used every opportunity that he had to tell others of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then to teach them their place in God's kingdom. When his death was imminent, Paul wrote in the last book he wrote, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. How about you? Do you use the opportunities God sends you to tell others about him? To bring praise to God's name? Can you say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Are you a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of others? Let's pray. Lord, in our culture, I think it's, we've all been trained, it's all about me. But Lord, it should not be. It must not be. As Christians, we have made you our Lord as well as our Savior. Lord, may we see ourselves as your servants, as your ministers, as your prisoner. Lord, may we serve you. May we share your gospel, your love, with everyone around us, Christian and non-Christian. The song we sang a couple weeks ago was, they'll know that we are Christians by our love. May that be true for each one of us. Lord, may we bring praise and honor to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.